This business of the head rag irked her endlessly, but Jody was set on it. Her hair was not going to show in the store. It didn't seem sensible at all. That was because Joe never told Janie how jealous he was. He never told her how often he had seen the other men figuratively wallowing in it as she went about things in the store. And one night, he had caught Walter standing behind Janie and brushing the back of his hand back and forth across the loose end of her braid ever so lightly, so as to enjoy the feel of it without Janie knowing what he was doing. Joe was at the back of the store, and Walter didn't see him. He felt like rushing forth with a meat knife and chopping off the offending hand. That night, he ordered Janie to tie up her hair around the store. That was all. She was there in the store for him to look at, not those others. But he never said things like that. It just wasn't in him. Take the matter of the yellow mule, for instance. Late one night, Matt came from the west with a halter in his hand.
"Been hunting for my mule. Anybody seen him?" he asked.
"Seen him soon this morning over behind the schoolhouse," Lum said, "about 10 o'clock or so. He must have been out all night to be way over there that early."
"He was," Matt answered. "Seen him last night, but I couldn't catch him. I'm obliged to get him in tonight, 'cause I got some plowing for tomorrow. Done promised to plow Thompson's Grove."
"Reckon you'd ever get through the job with that mule frame?" Lige asked.
"Oh, that mule is plenty strong, just evil, and don't want to be led."
"That's right. They tell me he brought you here to this town. Say you started to McCanopy, but the mule had better sense and brung you on here."
"It's a lie. I set out for this town when I left West Florida."
"You mean to tell me you rode that mule all the way from West Florida down here?"
"Sure he did lie, but he didn't mean to. He was satisfied up there, but the mule wasn't. So one morning he got straddled the mule and he took and brought him on off. Mule has sense. Folks up that way don't eat biscuit bread but once a week."
There was always a little seriousness behind the teasing of Matt. So when he got huffed and walked on off, nobody minded. He was known to buy side meat by the slice, carried home little bags of meal and flour in his hand. He didn't seem to mind too much, so long as it didn't cost him anything. About half an hour after he left, they heard the braying of the mule at the edge of the woods. He was coming past the store very soon.
"Let's catch Matt's mule for him and have some fun. Now, Lum, you know that mule ain't aiming to let himself be caught. Let's watch you do it."
When the mule was in front of the store, Lum went out and tackled him. The brute jerked up his head, laid back his ears, and rushed to the attack. Lum had to run for safety. 5 or 6 more men left the porch and surrounded the fractious beast, goosing him in his sides and making him show his temper. But he had more spirit left than body. He was soon panting and heaving from the effort of spinning his old carcass about. Everybody was having fun at the mule baiting, all but Janie. She snatched her head away from the spectacle and began muttering to herself. "They ought to be ashamed of themselves, teasing that poor brute beast like they is. Done been worked to death, done had his disposition ruined with mistreatment, and now they got to finish devilling him to death. Wished I'd had my way with them all." She walked away from the porch and found something to busy herself with in the back of the store, so she did not hear Jody when he stopped laughing. She didn't know that he had heard her, but she did hear him yell out,
"Lum, I got that's enough. Y'all done had your fun now. Stop your foolishness and go tell Matt Bonner I want to have a talk with him right away."
Janie came back out front and sat down. She didn't say anything, and neither did Joe. But after a while, he looked down at his feet and said,
"Jenny, I reckon you better go fetch me them old black gaiters. These tan shoes sets my feet on fire. Plenty room in them, but they hurts regardless."
She got up without a word and went off for the shoes. A little war of defense for helpless things was going on inside her. People ought to have some regard for helpless things. She wanted to fight about it, but I hate disagreement and confusion, so I better not talk. It makes it hard to get along. She didn't hurry back. She fumbled around long enough to get her face straight, and when she got back, Joe was talking with Matt.
$15? My God, you're as crazy as a Betsy bug. $5.
Let's strike a compromise, Brother Mayor. Let's make it 10.
$5.
Joe rolled his cigar in his mouth and rolled his eyes away indifferently.
If that mule is worth something to you, Brother Mayor, he's worth more to me. More special when I got a job of work tomorrow.
$5.
All right, Brother Mayor, if you wants to rob a poor man like me of everything he got to make a living with, I'll take the $5. That mule been with me 23 years. It's mighty hard.
Mayor Starks deliberately changed his shoes before he reached into his pocket for the money. By that time, Matt was wringing and twisting like a hen on a hot brick. But as soon as his hand closed on the money, his face broke into a grin.
Beat your trading that time, Starks. That mule is liable to be dead before the week is out. You won't get no work out of him.
Didn't buy him for no work. My God, I bought that varmint to let him rest. You didn't have gumption enough to do it.
A respectful silence fell on the place. Sam looked at Joe and said,
"That's a new idea about varmints, Mayor Starks. But I likes it my own self. It's a noble thing you done."
Everybody agreed with that. Janie stood still while they all made comments. When it was all done, she stood in front of Joe and said,
"Jody, that was a mighty fine thing for you to do. 'Tain't everybody would have thought of it. Of course, it ain't no everyday thought. Freeing that mule makes a mighty big man out of you. Something like George Washington and Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln. He had the whole United States to rule, so he freed the Negroes. You got a town, so you freed a mule. You have to have power to free things, and that makes you like a king or something."
Hambo said,
"Your wife is a born orator, Starks, or never knowed that before. She put just the right words to our thoughts."
Joe bit down hard on his cigar and beamed all around, but he never said a word. The town talked it for 3 days and said that's just what they would have done if they had been rich men like Joe Starks. Anyhow, a free mule in town was something new to talk about. Starks piled fodder under the big tree near the porch, and the mule was usually around the store like the other citizens. Nearly everybody took the habit of fetching along a handful of fodder to throw on the pile. He almost got fat, and they took a great pride in him. New lies sprung up about his free mule doings, how he pushed open Lindsay's kitchen door and slept in the place one night and fought until they made coffee for his breakfast. How he stuck his head in the Pearson's window while the family was at the table and Mrs. Pearson mistook him for Reverend Pearson and handed him a plate. He ran Mrs. Tully off to the croquet ground for having such an ugly shape. He ran and caught up with Becky Anderson on the way to Maitland so as to keep his head out of the sun under her umbrella. He got tired of listening to Redmond's long-winded prayer and went inside the Baptist church and broke up the meeting. He did everything but let himself be bridled and visit Matt Bonner. But way after a while, he died. Lum found him under the big tree on his raw, bony back with all 4 feet up in the air.
That wasn't natural, and it didn't look right. But Sam said it would have been more unnatural for him to have laid down on his side and died like any other beast. He had seen death coming and had stood his ground and fought it like a natural man. He had fought it to the last breath. Naturally, he didn't have time to straighten himself out. Death had to take him like it found him. When the news got around, it was like the end of a war or something like that. Everybody that could knocked off from work to stand around and talk. But finally, there was nothing to do but drag him out like all other dead brutes, drag him out to the edge of the hammock, which was far enough off to satisfy sanitary conditions in the town. The rest was up to the buzzards. Everybody was going to the dragging out. The news had got Mayor Stark out of bed before time. His pair of gray horses was out under the tree, and the men were fooling with the gear when Janie arrived at the store with Joe's breakfast. "My God, Lum, you fasten up this store good before you leave, you hear me?" He was eating fast and talking with one eye out of the door on the operations.
"What you telling them to fasten up for, Jody?"
Janie asked, surprised.
"'Cause it won't be nobody here to look after the store. I'm going to the dragging out myself."
"'Tain't nothing so important I got to do today, Jody. How come I can't go along with you to the dragging out?" Joe was struck speechless for a minute.
"Why, Janie, you wouldn't be seen in a dragging out, would you? With any and everybody in a passel, pushing and shoving, within no man of selves? No, no.
You would be there with me, wouldn't you?"
"That's right, but I'm a man, even if I isn't the mayor. But the mayor's wife is something different again. Anyhow, the liable to need me to say a few words over the carcass, this being a special case. But you ain't going off in all that mess of commonness. I'm surprised at you for asking."
He wiped his lips of ham gravy and put on his hat.
"Shut the door behind you, Janie. Lum is too busy with the horses."
After more shouting of advice and orders and useless comments, the town escorted the carcass off. No, the carcass moved off with the town and left Janie standing in the doorway.